I think for good reasons, as a main strengthening factor in the human heart. When we present the tree of life and this emotional well-being as part of the trunk, the bark if you so want, we always want to make sure that our audience understands that emotional well-being is a result of many factors. It's just like health. Health doesn't come when you only eat healthy. It means you have to also have sleep, healthy sleep, and means you have to have also a lifestyle which doesn't destroy your health. In the same way, emotional well-being is a product of several factors which influence our psyche. I found out, and you may laugh about it, that the quality of sleep very much influences a person's emotional well-being. This is very clear when you see little children. When they don't have their sleep at the proper time, they get cranky. And you can do anything and everything with them. The regulated sleep is also, in the Ayurveda perspective, a very important factor to bring back the emotional strength. It's something which is very much neglected in modern time and modern thinking, because although it is known to modern people that the physical well-being and sleep is a physical thing, has influence on the emotional well-being, but I feel this can be more emphasized in life. So this evening you will learn how to improve the quality of your sleep, hopefully. Also, physical well-being influences a lot our emotional well-being. If you feel sick, you may feel also sad and slightly frustrated because you cannot do what you wish to do. Surroundings, now I go to more known factors, also have a very big influence on your well-being, because it is known that from the many different stimuli which come from your environment, your emotional well-being is formed. I have seen this with someone whom I know, who came to this Sangha here, to the new Govardhan retreat, and looked really exhausted and depleted and ill at ease and everything. And in that Sangha, that environment, amazing things have taken place. I saw, for instance, a totally disturbed punk. Don't know if you know in Australia, Rupa Goswami, punk, we have punks. You know, his favorite animals were rats. He had two ugly white rags with him who were crawling all the time over him. And he came to the temple totally disturbed. He always listened to "I Want to Kill Somebody" music like this. And we said, you know, he was not really interested in the philosophy. "Why don't you go in the cow barn and take care of the cows? You know, take the dung and move it from left to right." And he did so, and he lived in Berlin, but now he lived in the cow barn. And after half a year, I saw him in the lectures. And after another half a year, he took initiation from some devotee, and he's from one of my god brothers, and he's now a very wonderfully contributing member of the Brazilian Ya tribe, I believe, some South African or American, South American country. So environment helps a lot in the emotional well-beings. Relationships are very, very important. I think we all know from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad that the human being feels well when he feels love and when he is able to express his love. That is so good in the Sangha, when the Sangha is all right between devotees, when people can feel they are valued and they feel they are loved, and when they are also able to express their love. I have done many mistakes in this. You know, when people express their appreciation and love, I always feel uncomfortable. And I have noted that you have to allow people to express their love, to feel valued also. I think another aspect which contributes to emotional well-being are the spiritual experiences. We feel so much better when we go on a pilgrimage. We feel so much better when we have chanted properly our rounds. We feel so much better when our spiritual roots go deep. These are different factors which contribute to our emotional well-being, and I guess that you have either taken notes or you will listen to these recommendations again. I want to concentrate today on a simple technique which will answer the big question: how can we stay on a state of emotional well-being? How can we maintain that? How can we apply sattva to it? In my what I want to give to you is not so much that many tips which you can hear almost in every lecture, or which the sparrows are trumpeting from the roofs of the self-help schools. I want to give you the sattvic approach to well-being. And there, the question is: how can you stay centered emotionally and balanced in your well-being, even though there are many disturbances around you, even though there are many stimuli around you from rajas and sattva? In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that the appearance of happiness and distress are like the appearance of winter and summer seasons. And he advises Arjuna to remain tolerant and not becoming disturbed. And this is a typical sattvic quality. I don't feel it will help us very much if we get... we will talk about relationships and what to do in relationships. But if I would now teach a lot of about relationships, if I would teach you a lot about how to live in good surroundings, or if I would teach you at this moment how to find your dharma, or how to make deep spiritual experiences, that can be discussed, and it must be discussed, but the most central questions, the big question is: how can you stay and maintain a state of emotional well-being? Because then, when you learn to maintain it, then you have well-being, which will come like summer and winter. You will always feel happiness in this world, and if you know how to catch it and maintain it and stay on it, then you are happy forever and ever. This is my take today with you. And in order to stay and maintain that state of happiness, which comes like summer and winter, it comes on its own, I would like to introduce to you a simple technique called the emotional traffic light. It is very simple and very effective. I discovered it 25 years ago, and those who know me know that I'm a little bit sensitive by nature. My skin is not like an elephant, it is like a mosquito, so thin. But this emotional traffic light has helped me really to stay on a level of happiness no matter what happens around me. Now, I would like to introduce the emotional traffic light by once again bringing to your attention that while you are in this world, there will be many unexpected things which will be thrown upon you. Now, signals from the outside world are coming always at us, and we respond to them according to our core beliefs, you know, what we believe we are, with certain feelings. These feelings begin to, will influence our moods, what we think, and how we behave. So what you need to know is how to create your inner weather so that you are not at all dependent on the outer weather, you know, what comes from outside to you. I would like to give you a little event in my life where I really needed something to protect my emotional well-being from the outside and what happened in my life. It was in Zurich, and my core belief about myself is, well, I ran away from school. I was always a little bit like a hermit. I'm not a good public speaker, therefore. This is something which I have, believe it or not. I look very forthcoming, but you have a shy person before you. Hare Krishna. I know no one believes this Maharaj is shy. No, he isn't. But and I always feel, oh, my lectures are not relevant, are not interesting to the audience. So I was tuned in like this. I was wired like this. And so I'm sitting in Zurich, and I give a Sunday feast lecture. And in the Sunday feast lecture, I see something which totally can upset me. It's when the audience becomes inattentive, walks out in and out of the room and so on. But here I see how there were two men sitting right before me, and one man was making all kinds of absurd hand gestures all the time. It seemed he was like you know, shadow theater. He was without any light and so on. And the other went. Questioning and so on. This was 15 minutes going on, and I thought, I will soon throw an atom bomb. I can't tolerate this any longer. It's just, I lose my thread. But something in me told me, before you throw your atom bomb, you know, say something or throw them out of the, or take chalk from the circle and just throw it on their heads or whatever. You know, before you do this, tolerate. So something in me, a little voice, and I listened to it, and I somehow brought the lecture to a quick end because it was difficult to concentrate. And then I went over to this man who was gesturing and said, may I know why you did this? I mean, did you want to disturb the lecture? And the man looked at me shocked, and he said, no, Maharaj, we have traveled all this way from London to hear the famous Satchinandan Swami speak. Yeah, but all the time you did this right before my eyes. He said, no, I was translating your lecture in the language, a sign language for the deaf and dumb. I am helping this other devotee. I am an interpreter for the deaf and dumb. You know, the making some signs. And he wanted to hear you live. And he's hearing your CDs and so on. And I was translating for him. Says, I'm happy I listened to that little voice inside. Really, and you know, but I'm a skeptical person, so I asked, and how did he get feedback from your friend? And then he made feedback, you know, the sign for feedback. I think it was, I remember it was like this, and the man started to. The deaf and dumb person. He couldn't talk, but he made and then made some signs. What did he say? I asked. Well, he said, this one point which you made was so central for him, and he would love if you can explain it a little bit more. For him, he's highly interested. Wow, I said, finally, an audience who cares and who's interested. And of course, you come up with my room. And I spent many hours with them. I learned language, different signs, you know, like this. It means the opening of consciousness. I learned also the sign for Vrindavan. There was a new sign which they had developed because it's not common in the deaf and dumb language. But I forgot it now. I don't want to speculate. Well, it was so nice, the sign for Vrindavan. I think it was something like this for Vrindavan and this for the Yamuna, something like this. And my dear devotees and my dear skeptics, I learned so much for my spiritual life at that time. And then I decided, wow, you are always interpreting reality. And who says it's right? And then you feel according to your interpretation something, and then you act and behave. That's your whole life. You must stop this, and you must find out the truth. You must come into sattva. And I developed a simple, based on one psychology book, and then our Bhagavad Gita, which describes that we should take an observer role, and while we act and do things, speak, receive things, evacuate, know that only the body is active and the soul is not doing anything. In other words, I must learn to have a distanced observer role in my life. So, I said I learned this from the traffic light. A traffic light has three signals. Stop, that is when it turns red. Yellow, wait. Wait and prepare. your further journey, and then green, go. So in the emotional traffic light, in order to react sattvically to the many stimuli which we receive, one can do the following. When something comes to our attention which upsets us or which engages us, we can first stop and go on red. We don't react according to the programming which we have in us, the conditioned nature, the troubled psychology, or the, you know, but we go on stop. Then we go on yellow. Yellow means wait but prepare. We think, what would be an appropriate reaction to this situation? First of all, we find out, is it really true the way I perceive it? And then we take inventory, how do I feel with this situation? And then we think, what would be the best way to react to the situation? And then, after we have found a good way to react to the situation, then we go on green. Go for it. In American English, I think Krishna Murari would say, go for it now. So these are the three functions which help you to move into a space where you have an opportunity to act upon the truth, the tattva, to act sattvically and not just allow yourself to ruin yourself by acting upon interpretations which you make according to your conditioned nature. I would like to now guide you in such an exercise so that you can experience what it means to apply the emotional traffic light and protect yourself from falling down from the from a happy or a composed life into the life of rajas and tamas. If you are so kind to sit properly, just erect, on the ring of the scarlet, I will give you a certain task to contemplate. Those of you who are writers can write in the notebooks, but those who just like to think, which I think is also good or is even easier, can do that also. We will just sit a little bit like this, and please breathe in deep inhales. Relax your shoulders and your neck, and keep your eyes open if you wish, or close them, whatever helps you to be more alert. In your mind, I would like to ask you now to think of something which at the present is very much on your mind. With the present, I mean the life circumstances in which you are now. Maybe there's a relationship which is very much on your mind. Maybe a difficult situation, like you have not yet found the right place in your life and you would like to find it. maybe there's something which puts you ill at ease, or maybe you're concerned about an illness, some dysfunctioning of your body. Think of something which is very much present in your mind. Thank you. Now examine your feelings. What would be your feelings and further? What would be your usual reaction? Like in Zurich, my usual reaction would be to throw chalk on the people and scream from the Vyasasan. Feelings would be, I would be disturbed. I'm so happy that I didn't do this. And then throw a little atom bomb. This is called stop. You are not reacting. You just examine your feelings and you think of the real, of the reaction, but you don't react. Do now a little reality check. Is it really like this? Is your perspective justifiable? Are there other explanations than your own interpretation? How would someone else see the situation? What are other perspectives? The moment you start challenging your own perspectives, the moment you try to see other perspectives, you will feel a shift in your emotions. You will feel relieved. Especially if you think of another response. In the response which you usually have. And the moment you do this, this other response, this shift, sattva enters your mind. Then switch on green. Find something which you could do differently than the thing which, than your usual response. Act upon the other perspective, and you will see the whole world around you, and also your heart will change. Thank you. I hope something came up for you. And when I just guided you through the exercise, I remembered how it was for me. You know, when I was in Zurich in that situation, and all of a sudden these two people started to, right before my eyes, do this unexplainable hand gestures, which I thought were a disturbance. When I finally came around and thought, my God, this is really... I will not react like I usually react. I will just be very... I will hold my rajas and tamas inside. I will not think that I'm the versus speaker in the universe and just denigrate myself. I will just ask them what this really was all about at the end of the lecture. And I remember when I was controlling myself, when I was in this, what you can call the yellow mode, you know, first I stopped myself and then I began to think about everything. I felt all of a sudden so how the sattva gun, sattva came into my life, and I became very composed. I thought, well, I will solve this situation in a nice way for everyone. And I went to the people, and then of course I was very, very happy. Now, what to do when someone really wants to disturb? Then the same thing holds true. You go to stop, you go to what is a nice way, you go to yellow, and you think about the best way which you can use to help the situation. Now, I have been in many lecture programs where people indeed came with the intention to disturb, and so on. And there are ways to deal with it. I remember there was in Australia a situation when Prabhupada was publicly challenged by someone, and he was dressed in a very colorful costume of a wizard. He was known as an artistic person and so on, and he challenged Prabhupada and said, "I am God." And Prabhupada just answered very matter-of-factly. He didn't explode. He just said, "Oh yes, this is what everyone thinks. You're really not special. Sit down, please." And the man was disarmed and sat down to listen to the rest of the lecture. So either you are wrong and your own weakening program is going on, and you can detect that by this emotional traffic light, or when you are right, you can find a proper response which will help the situation, and then go for it. I would like to now... Oh, time is not on our side this morning. I would like to request you just very quickly to turn to your buddy, your partner, and just very quickly think or share with them a situation which you experience in your private life, and a better response which you can have to solve the situation. In other words, apply the emotional traffic light. That is, first go on red, stop, then go on yellow, that is, prepare yourself, observe the situation from a more distance position, and then go on green, that is, go with a new solution. Please start now. You will just... practice this while you are here on retreat, this emotional traffic light. There will be, when you return to the hall after the long break, which will come now, there will be something for you on a sheet of paper, which you will take with you and practice. What we also will do is, we will send you training newsletters, which will help you to apply the wisdoms of the points which you learn here in the Tree of Life retreat in your daily life. Training newsletters will just help you to really practice with this in your life. So you can, if you wish to have them, they are free of cost, obviously. You can write down your email in your best readable handwriting, and we will send them to you on a regular basis. I will now give you, when you go to your prasadam, very interesting sheets of paper which will help you how to develop sattva. These are really wonderful things. They come from one of our Sharanagati members. Her spiritual name is Mangala. She is a very well-established psychologist who works with us on developing sattva, and you will get some very good ideas about how to develop sattva, how to make reality checks in your life, and invite the mode of goodness or the sattva into every aspect. I thank you very, very much. You are very active in these workshops. We are trying to, in this workshop, to give you a very practical experience of the teachings which you hear, and I thank you very much for being such a kind and positive audience. We will now give you a very healthy meal, and I heard that some of you had raga singing stomachs after the khichdi. There was the stomach raga, but now we will take care that the raga will become the delight raga. I will just ask Anunandini before we disperse to just tell us how we will continue after the retreat, after prasadam.
Yes. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, everybody. I will really keep it very short because we're hungry and a little tired. So we will take our prasadam. It is a nice feast. Also, those who are vegans can take prasadam here. Just please ask which of the two subjects is vegan and which is having some dairy. And we will meet at 4 o'clock for those who would like to do a group chat again in the afternoon. We will meet here with Gaurahari Prabhu. And then at 5 o'clock, just after the group chapel, we will have the yoga session with Tracy. It will be also here in this venue. So all of you who would like to participate, we would very much encourage you, because you want to stay in our static scheduling of the day. Please also, if you have your own yoga mats, it's good to bring them with you. Otherwise, we will provide a few here, but we cannot provide 100, unfortunately. And for those of you who feel like, oh, you know, I'm not so much into doing yoga today, it can happen. Please try to use this break until 6 p.m. when we all finally will meet here to also move a little bit. Just make a walk or do any type of movement, because it's very important you're sitting a lot of time, even though you're engaging your minds with very nice subject matters and spiritual subject matters, and it's very sattvic and so on, but our bodies, because of the sitting, are very much incapable. And then there will be a clash inside. So for you to feel well and healthy and to have a full experience, please try to at least move a little during the day. Also, if you feel like, oh, I'd rather chant on my own, that's also fine, of course, but just try to pace yourself in and make this chanting. We are trying, of course, to organize a group movement with yoga and a group chakra session, which is giving you more strength, but if you really cannot participate, just pace yourself. Don't think, oh, I don't know, come on at 6 o'clock and participate. Yes, and at 6 o'clock, Sachinanda Swami will give us the afternoon workshop. He will continue to teach us into emotional well-being, how we can obtain it and how we can maintain it. Thank you so much, and one of the Hare Krishna.
And collect your pieces of paper as you move out to the prasadam. Banani, we